Hi, I'm Shay.
And I am David.
And you're listening to Board on the Air on CFCR, where we talk about board games and board game-related topics. On tonight's show, we'll be discussing what we've been playing, the news, and for our main topic tonight, is there a new Catan?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's something just popped in my head. So this is episode 251.
I wondered which one we were on at this point.
And our first episode, we discussed Catan.
Yeah.
And so I figure this is a good time to look at, rehash a little bit of what Catan is to the game industry, but is there something that's taken its place, or will take its place?
Yeah.
Right? At least that's how I see it in my head. You may talk about something different.
No, that's basically what I was thinking too.
Cool. And I know I've said this before, but what do you think? Theme music.
I'm down for it, but maybe, you could get maybe Tease to do some trombone theme music.
We should get Tease to make a theme music for us, and then figure out how to put it into our podcast, or our radio.
You guys all want to listen to trombone music, whatever time you listen to our show, right?
Nothing screams board games like
trombone music. Nice.
Yeah.
Let's start with what we've been playing.
Okay, Shay, did you get to play a couple of games.
I got to play a couple games. I'll talk about one that you didn't play with me, and that is Mlem Space Agency, which is actually your game.
Yes.
But I got to learn it, play it, teach it at our game night on Friday, which thank you all for coming out to it, those of you that were there. So there was five of us playing this game. This is a push-your-luck space travel game. It's very reminiscent of Celestia. In fact, I think you told me it's based on Celestia.
I don't know if it's based on it, but people have compared it to it.
It's really similar.
Yeah.
Like, it has a very similar vibe of you're on a rocket ship, you're going to roll dice, you're going to move a certain amount of steps on the rocket track, and then you decide whether you want to get off the boat or not. And the farther you go, the better, more points you're going to get.
Is it a boat?
Sorry, rocket. The farther you go, the more points you're going to get,
okay.
But the more risk of your rocket ship crashing.
Okay.
So when you're rolling dice, you start off, you're rolling six dice. You separate them into groups of numbers. On the rocket track, it shows you which of those numbers you can even use that round. So, you know, it'll say like 1, 2, 3 or threes and fours. Like, so you can only use those numbers to begin with. Once you use, you can choose any and all groups of numbers. So if you get like 2 ones, 2 twos, you can use all four of those dice and you move that many steps on the track. But those dice are then gone.
Okay.
They're gone for that round. The only exception being the afterburners, which look like little meteors. If those are allowed to be used, you can use them, but then they go back into the pile so you can keep rolling them.
Okay.
Those are the only exception. Every other one gets removed. So that's why the farther you get, the less dice you're going to have, the more chance you're not going to roll something that allows you to keep moving.
Okay.
And that's the basic gameplay. Your astronauts, you have a selection of astronauts, 11 of them. And each round you're going to put one astronaut out into the rocket. Each astronaut has a separate power that they can do, and everybody has the same astronauts. So you're choosing when you want to put one out. It can get you double points on a moon or double points on a planet, or it has a parachute. So if it explodes, you can still land somewhere if there's somewhere to land. Or there's one that gives you basically a free one dice that you can also use to keep from exploding type thing.
Are they astronauts or catronauts?
Well, they could describe them as astronauts.
Okay.
Yeah. But they do look like cats. So yes, you put your astronauts in, you're hoping that it's the one that you're going to be able to use, properly, and then you roll the dice and you move up. There are different places to land. There are moons, which there's only so many moons. Each space has something connected to it. The moons, there's usually two or three of them there that you could land on. So once those fill up, nobody else can go there. There are planets, which as many people can go there as you want. It's area control. So the more people, whoever has the most gets the most amount of points. And then there is deep space, which is all the way at the top of the map. If you get there, the person who is the commander of the ship, they're the first player, they get 7 points, and then everybody else gets 5 points.
Okay.
We only got there once in two games, but we made it. I never got there. I jumped out, but it got
Celestia,
me more points.
Yeah,
so.
We have never made it to the end.
No. This one we made it once. It's really hard to roll enough dice and good enough dice to get all the way there.
Yeah.
And yeah, like I said, there are things that modify how many points you get, and you're just trying to get the most points either before the rocket explodes, I think 10 times, or somebody gets all 11 astronauts out. Both times we played, we got all our astronauts out. We didn't explode enough times to end the game.
Okay.
Really simple to teach, really simple to play. There are advanced modules included in the box that we didn't try, but they just add more things to the game. Yeah.
Okay. Cool. Yeah, this is Reiner Knizia. I picked it up in Calgary because I hadn't seen it here yet, and it looks cute, and it looks fun, and we like push-your-luck games, so that's why I grabbed that one.
Yeah.
Okay, I played a bunch this week. I'm going to start with Fractured Sky. This is one that we picked up in Calgary as well. Jordan grabbed it. Or I grabbed it for Jordan. It's by Ivy Games, and this is a company we talked about after coming back from Gen Con, because we had never really heard of them, and they produce these really nice-looking games. And this was one of those that we had looked at, but missed the late pledge, and were able to pick up a Kickstarter in Calgary. So we were pretty excited to try it, and it is Area Control. On your turn, you're going to either put out one of your ships, build one of your buildings, or look at one of the cards.
Yeah.
All of them have there's a cost to looking at the cards, there's a cost to putting out the buildings, but you can do the ships for free. With the ships, you're going to put one of your tokens, which are any value from 0 to 10, underneath, and it's a magnet, so it sticks to it, and you put it on the board, and nobody can see what value you put in that area. Once you've put out all three of your ships, your turn's going to end for that round. And you keep going around until everybody's put out their ships, and then you do a end of turn phase. And at the end of the turn, you're going to see who wins each area. They're going to get some resources, or if there's a crystal there, they're going to get a crystal. Crystals are valuable because those are the only thing that can win the game. In a five-round game, which is what you play, there's 25 crystals that are going to come out. There's five from... bonuses for each round. Do something, you get something. There's one that's known where it is each of the five rounds. And then in the first round, one hidden one, then two hidden ones, and three hidden ones, and four, then five. And that's how you get the 25. Simple to teach, simple to play. But we had a great time because the one little gotcha in it is your three ships, the total power can only add up to 10 or less. If it adds up to past that, you subtract anything above that from the value of each of your ships. So it's very punishing to do that. So none of us ever did that, but we had a great time. It played in about an hour, hour and a half, or about an hour and a half, I would say. But there's all these fun little decisions of you look at a card, and the cards you're looking at are either going to be the end game bonus or the end of round bonus or where the hidden crystals are. So you look at those and you're like, okay, well, I want to go there, but do I go there with my first ship and everybody knows that's where it is, or do I wait, play possum and go there with my last ship, right? So there's a lot of little mind games where you're looking at each other trying to figure out what each person's done. All of the little discs have the same color except for the 1 and the 10. They're both white. So if you put those out, you're like, okay, did he put the 10 and then he's got two zeros other places? Or did he put the 1 there just to make me think that he really wants that 1, right?
Right.
So yeah, we had a great time with this. Production value is off the charts. They do a great job of everything in that box. And it was expensive. It's not cheap. But it's a company I'm going to watch for. I know they have another Kickstarter coming soon for one of their games called Veiled Fate. That was Fractured Sky.
Cool. We played a game together.
Yes.
And I believe, I actually was looking through this because I couldn't remember the name of the game, but I knew it was Mad Max Vibes. Yeah, I looked it up and I found Thunder Road Vendetta.
Yes.
This is a remake of a game from the 80s.
Yep.
Or a reprint, more likely.
Yeah, it's restoration games.
Yeah, so reprint of a game from the 80s, and it is, not having seen Mad Max, it is a racing game.
Yeah.
Set in the desert, basically. So you each control, with two exceptions, most of us controlled three cars, a small, medium, and large, and a helicopter. Paul was playing with the motorcycles, so he had five motorcycles, which all counted as small vehicles, and they had different abilities. The goal of the game is to get from one end of the map to the next end of the map. But while you're doing this, you're moving forward along the track. You can run into other people. You can run into hazards. You can shoot people. You can use your helicopter to shoot people. If people land underneath your helicopter, they explode. There's just a lot going on in this game, but at its basis, you're rolling dice and you're using those dice to move your vehicle that amount of spaces.
Yeah.
And then there are other things that can happen depending on what you have on your board and what hazards you might hit.
Yeah, it was super fun.
It was really fun. Playing with five people, Paul had brought it and he said they had played with three and it wasn't nearly as chaotic as when we played it with five, because you run into one person, they move over, they run into another person, they move over, they run into another person. It's just crazy. It is possible to be eliminated from this game.
Yep.
You could get cars eliminated so they just go away and you're left with less cars, and theoretically you could be left with no cars. I think we only got to that at the end of the game.
Yeah, like, I think all of us lost one.
Yeah, I lost two, but only right at the end. Yeah. I lose my second one.
One person was eliminated, but all of her cars were on fire after the first round.
Yeah.
So she had rough luck. That was Paul's fiance, Sierra. It's chaos, right?
Yeah.
You are trying to hit people. You're going to mess with each other. You're going to get shot. You're going to have stuff eliminated. So if you go into it knowing that everybody's going to mess with each other and there's no I'm picking on you or anything like
that. It is very take that, but it's to whoever happens to be nearest.
Yeah. It's just a matter of, okay, you're in front or you might be trying to win. I'm going after you.
Yeah.
Or if you have little motorcycles when you hit, you know they're moving, you are aiming for motorcycles.
Yeah, absolutely. We all aim for the motorcycles. Yeah.
It was so much fun. Like, it was just a nice, easy to play game of chaos.
Yeah.
Right?
It was really fun. We had a really good time.
Yeah. I think it would be a nice icebreaker. It'd be nice.
Well, with friends you like.
With people you know, right? Yeah. I guess if you didn't know people might get a little bit upset.
Yeah.
But if you're playing with the right group, it is a lot of fun.
Yeah. Yeah. Any other ones you want to talk about?
Well, I will save them because that's 13 minutes right there.
We don't want to end up like last week.
Yes. Let's go into the news.
Perfect. Well, there's not much news today, so pretty chill. You can throw in whatever you might have heard. I didn't hear too much, but following off of last week, Daggerhearts Open Beta Playtest is out. This is the TTRPG from Darrington Press of Queen by Midnight. It's out. It has a sample campaign, like a 5-chapter campaign. It has character sheets and pre-created characters that you can play with. And they also released it with digital tools, like basically a D&D Beyond, but demiplane that seems to make things for a whole bunch of different systems.
Okay.
So they released their beta playtest with a digital tool as well. People are saying the support's pretty good for the setup. You answer they want you to break the game and then answer the survey questions.
Okay.
I'm excited to try this out. I got to play with the character creator, and it was really fun. From Devere Games, and starting off with one from my favorite designer, Phil Walker Harding. Phil Walker Harding and Steve Finn, actually. Just more information on their game, Cities. So originally it was supposed to be released in September this year. It's actually been moved up to June, so coming out sooner. It's a, like most of Phil Walker Harding's games, it sounds pretty light and quick. It's supposed to be a 30-minute playtime. You're building a 3x3 grid of tiles in front of you, but there's also a city board out in front of everybody that has objectives that you're trying to be the first one to reach. And they say it plays over 8 rounds, 4 turns per round. So there must be more than just putting, like, 9 tiles out, basically.
Yeah.
It was a little unclear.
I was trying to figure out how that worked.
It was a little unclear as to, like, they're like, you do tiles, and then they're talking about your actions, and it's like, you're doing, you know, you're making offerings, and I'm like, okay, so how does the tiles work? The description wasn't great.
Yeah.
But I love Phil Walker Harding, so definitely take a look at this one.
Yep.
game called Rock Hard 1977. This is also from Devir. Yeah. This is supposed to be their Gen Con 2024 release. That being said, it's coming out in June.
Yes.
But this is, it's a band game. You are rehearsing, you're releasing songs, you're playing gigs, you're writing songs, and you're promoting your band. And you're trying to make the most popular band in, I guess, 1977.
Yes. I think I've mentioned it or you've mentioned it previously. The big thing about this one that interests me is the game itself was designed, and I'm just getting his name, by Jackie Fox. And Jackie Fox is an actual musician.
Right. This is his first design, isn't yeah. it? Right. I did see that. Sorry, I had it open on here, too. Yeah, Jackie Fox, musician and first-time designer. Yeah. 2 to 5 players. And it's a pretty crazy-looking cover.
Okay, it's a she.
Oh.
Nice. And she was in The Runaways.
Right? Okay, cool.
Yeah, so she's... It's cool. Like, this is great. Female designer.
Yep.
Musician making a board game. This is awesome, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, looking forward to that one, because whatever Devir touches these days has been amazing.
Be pretty good, so.
Yeah, I've yet to play a Devir game of their latest stuff that I haven't really liked.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Another music game, not from Devir, but from publisher Smirk and Dagger. It's called Hi-Fi. It's originally from Brazilian publisher Mandela Yogos, but Smirk and Dagger is the one bringing it to the U.S., This is, I don't know much about the Beatles, but I know that's what this is in reference to. Because basically the story is, the band The Meeples was formed in the 70s. They broke up in the 70s. They had an unfinished album where the A-side was super popular. And now 50 years later, they're reuniting to finish the B-side.
Cool.
And so what you're doing is a whole bunch of things. You're basically trying to create audio tracks that are, I thought it was creating the B-side, but it turns out you're kind of creating the songs from the A-side that then help build the B-side. Little confusing, looks really cool. Coolest thing about it is it has a rondel that looks like a record player.
Nice.
So, pretty neat. And then, I'm finishing off here with Boop the Halls. Yes. This is the Christmas-themed Boop, which looks super cute, has cats with hats. And a 3D playing board that looks...
And scarves.
And scarves. And a 3D playing board that looks like a Christmas tree. Or pile of presents that forms a Christmas tree. One of the two. It plays the same. But you can also knock players' ornaments off the tree. And if you knock 3 of those off, then you also win.
Okay.
Yeah.
We've talked about Boop a lot. Big fan. I didn't get Boop.
Nope.
But I kind of wanted it though. And a friend owns it. Or I gave it to a friend for her birthday. So the other news, Kickstarter stuff, Inventors of the South Tigers opened today.
Right.
Thunder Road Vendetta's got an expansion out. I think we've talked about that previously. There's the Cascadia Rolling Rights yep. that are out. There is a lot of stuff on crowdfunding that started last Tuesday and this Tuesday. I have, of course, backed the Inventors already because I have the first two, and it's Shim Phillips, and I like supporting him because his Kickstarters are pre-orders, and I know I'm going to get it in December.
Yeah.
Right? He's right on top of things. It's ready to go to print by the time it goes to Kickstarter, and I can support that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Okay, let's get into our main topic.
Yes. Is there... a new Catan, and I should say you are listening to Board on the Air on CFCR.
I'm David.
And I'm Shay, and thank you to our wonderful sponsor, Amazing Stories. Thanks to everybody who came to game night last week.
Yeah, we had another 20-ish people, maybe just over. Got five or six games
yep.
played, and looked like everybody had a good time. It was a heavier night.
Yep.
We don't do that very often. We usually do one heavy, one medium, one light. But I had a request for Suchi games, so we tried it, and there was a lot of good stuff played, but it might have been too heavy for some people.
Yeah.
I apologize for that. We brought some light stuff, but it filled up right away.
Yes.
Okay.
Let's start off with what do we mean a new Catan? What is Catan to the board gaming world, Dave?
So, to me, and to a lot of people, Catan is the game that got me into modern gaming.
Yeah.
Right? It is that evergreen title that when people are starting to play board games, they buy Catan.
Yeah.
Right? Or for a number of years, they bought Catan.
Yeah, it is so well known. I was laughing at this. It's so well known at this point. It was in an Amazon Prime TV show. It was in Reacher, and they specifically named it. Like, not only did they show it in the background, they named it and were playing it. Yeah. Like, it's that level. It's like, it's, they had it in the realm of Battleship and Catan, right? Like, that's the, yeah, that's the world it's in at this point.
It shows up in a lot of pop culture.
Yeah.
Like, movies, game, or TV shows. I've seen it everywhere. When people talk about, very often you hear, do you play board games? Yeah, I play Catan.
Yeah.
Or do you know Catan?
It's almost the same as when people say, like, do you play Monopoly, right? Yes. Like, it's almost the same. I get Catan almost the same amount, right?
In designer board games, it's usually one of the first ones that
yeah.
people talk about.
We've described it as, like, the OG gateway game, yeah. right?
Yeah. I have recently started to get asked a different game when I say we talk about board games or we play board games or what kind of board games do we play, I get asked.
Interesting.
And the game that I keep getting asked about or mentioned to me is, of course, Wingspan.
Oh, interesting, interesting.
So it got me thinking, is Wingspan
the new Catan?
The new Catan or going to be the new Catan? I don't know.
I don't know. That's an interesting question because, like, the thing about Catan is, it's relatively easy to play, relatively easy to find, not super expensive, and you can kind of play it with anybody, yeah. right? Would you say the same thing about Wingspan?
Well, it makes me think, is it the same weight?
Right.
They're very close. There's probably more rules to Wingspan.
Definitely than there is more to rule Catan. To Wingspan.
I
don't know. It's interesting.
It's tough, but like right?
the thing is it's so popular, yeah. and we know that it's not actually that high up on the top 100 on BGG, but it's really popular.
It's and in the top 20.
It is the top 20. It's high. Yeah. It's high. Yeah. But like, I think because it's not as expensive and it isn't as heavy as a lot of the games in that top 20, yeah. that it has started to become kind of like, oh, this is what people use to introduce people to board games, well, right?
And for whatever reason, the theme with the birds...
It's popular.
Is popular.
Yeah.
Like, I am not a bird person by any means, but I like the art. I like the design. I like to play it, right? I have the nesting box up on the top shelf there.
Yeah.
Right? It is getting very, very close to being that game in my opinion, right? You know, as much as I go, I'm not sure, to me it is getting there, right?
That's fair. Like, I get asked Ticket to Ride a lot, which falls into the same realm as Catan. It's a similar age and, like, weight.
Well, for a long time there was, I used to call them, like, the Big Seven. There yeah. was Carcassonne, there was Ticket to Ride, there Catan, was Catan, Seven Wonders,
yeah.
Dominion.
Yeah.
Small World.
Yeah. This is the new deck building gateway yeah. game.
Yeah, it's that tableau builder that has beautiful components, beautiful art. It is starting to be sold everywhere.
Yeah, you can find it pretty much everywhere.
The only difference is Wingspan sells out.
Yeah.
right? Like, Jeff at Amazing tells me regularly, yeah, I'm out of Wingspan again. Right? So he waits for the next shipment, orders another 30 copies, and then that lasts him a month mm-hmm. or a month and a half. So a lot of people are still buying it, and a lot of people are entering the hobby now, right? It's
the hobby's growing.
The hobby, I think, is still growing. You know, as we saw at Gen Con yeah. when we were there, there is a lot of people of all walks of life walking around there.
Yeah, absolutely. You
know? So it's...
It's interesting. I wouldn't be what I'd call a gateway game when I think of it at first, right? Because to me, there's just a few too many rules to it. But yep. at the same time, it isn't really that complex of a game. But I've talked about before how my idea of what a complex game is has definitely changed because I've been playing them for so long.
And we get... We get jaded. Not jaded, but just our feeling of what's complicated changes.
I mentioned, I don't know if I've mentioned it on the show before, that I saw a TikTok of somebody who is kind of making fun of or complaining. I don't know. I don't want to call it complaining because that's a fair comment that, like, you know, they didn't want to watch a 30-minute video on how to play a game and then do another 30-minute teach when they got there. And I'm like, what game is this? And it was Castles of Burgundy, which I love and I think is a relatively simple game to play, right? So you know, it's kind of in my brain. I have to be aware, and that kind of made me aware. I'm like, my perspective on what is a not complex, what is an easy game to play, is very different from what it was 6 years ago when I first started playing games, right?
Yeah, for
Designer
sure.
games. So it's hard for me to say whether I think Wingspan really fits in the same category as Catan. There's also that Wingspan's just so much better.
In our world,
Yeah.
right? Is there another option that you see?
Oh, interesting. I don't get when I usually say I play games, I still get Monopoly a lot, so it's I
Yeah.
haven't really gotten many of what I would consider a designer board game. Oh man, one that brings people into the hobby, hey? I
There's
don't
one
know.
other one that sort of, to me, is close, and that's Quacks.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Another simple or simpler to play than Wingspan with just the base game and is relatively inexpensive,
Yeah.
and a lot of people really like that push your luck,
I'd say
right?
some of the smaller IP-based games can sometimes do that. Like, I feel like what's the Thanos one that I played at ToonCon last year?
Thanos Rising.
Thanos Rising, stuff like that. Those ones are becoming a bit more popular in, you know, or any of the ones that are now available at Target to start off with,
Yeah,
like
no, for sure. And yeah, I think it,
it's hard to say one game though. Like
yeah, like, and that's exactly it. There's very few games that have sold as much as Catan,
Yeah.
but has brought that many people in the hobby. And to me, Wingspan is the
That's
closest.
fair. I mean, when we had it at game night, somebody who like was just like, that game sounds cool, I'm gonna come play, right?
Yeah.
So honestly, it could be. I didn't ask you what your idea was before we started recording this, and that honestly could be the new Catan.
Yeah,
It's just
it.
whether I think, in my opinion, what I'm interested to see is whether it's light enough that it actually is the thing bringing people in, or if they maybe play something else first.
Yeah, well, there is that hilarious video of Mandy Patinkin and his wife
Right, playing
tr
Wingspan.
playing Wingspan, trying to learn it, and being like, "That's not confusing at all."
Yeah, that's, oh God, I forgot about that video. It's so funny.
Right? There's just stuff like that popping up with Wingspan that just
It's true.
sort of pushes me in that direction.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if it'll ever completely take Catan, because Catan is still out there. It's
Yeah,
still
Catan has like
popular.
20 years on it.
Yeah, exactly. But I think it has a chance.
That's cool. I like that.
Okay, I am David,
And I'm Shay.
and we will talk to you next
Have a
week.
good night.